This is Bad Cop No Donut for the week of April 14th, 2005.
All right, freeze! Police!
Bad Cop No Donut!
Bad, 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 bad.
Cop, 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 cop.
No, 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 no. Donut, 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 donut.
It's under law, and I rule.
With your weekly wrap-up of North American police brutality, misconduct, and corruption, I'm Ron Anisich at CKLN in Toronto. Stay tuned after this week's headlines for a short editorial from Matthew Rothschild, editor of The Progressive. But first, let's have a look at what the police did to us this week. Police in Columbus, Georgia, killed a man this week, apparently by shooting him with supposedly non-lethal beanbag projectiles. According to the Associated Press, the man died in hospital 2 days after the incident when he was shot with two of the beanbag bullets. He was killed by internal bleeding when one of the projectiles struck him in the spleen area. The silver dollar-sized beanbag is compressed into a shell casing and then launched using a specialized 12-gauge shotgun. The Columbus Police Department say they have used the weapon 9 times since 2001 with no other fatalities, and that they plan to continue using the weapons.
This is where his past career will speak for itself, and that we're asking everyone to withhold judgment until the facts play out.
A police officer in San Diego, California, has pleaded not guilty to charges that he gave alcohol to 2 teenage girls and then molested them. NBC San Diego reports that Sergeant Toby Freestone is accused of committing the assault in his home in July 2004. Freestone was charged with child molestation, sexual battery, and contributing to the delinquency of a minor after one of the victims and her family complained to authorities. Freestone is free on a $50,000 bond and has been placed on administrative duty. A former Detroit police officer who is currently serving a prison sentence for beating a black motorist to death in 1992 is trying to get his manslaughter conviction overturned. The Detroit News says that in 1993, Larry Nevers and his partner, Walter Budson, were both convicted of second-degree murder and served 4 years in prison before winning a second trial, where the pair were convicted of manslaughter. This week, Nevers filed papers which said that the judge in the second trial made errors and asking that his conviction be overturned. Prosecutors at the officer's trials said that their victim was struck in the head with a heavy flashlight 14 times, which they called a clear use of excessive force. A police officer in Warminster, Pennsylvania, was convicted this week of arranging to meet a person who he thought was a 13-year-old he met on the internet for a sexual encounter. The 13-year-old was, in fact, an undercover police officer posing as a child. According to the Philadelphia Inquirer, John Powell was found guilty last week on charges of attempted sexual assault, attempted involuntary deviant sexual intercourse, attempted indecent assault, attempted corruption of minors, and attempted unlawful communication. Police arrested Powell on February 4th when he went to meet the person he had arranged the encounter with. Police found a vibrator and batteries in his truck at the time of his arrest. A date has not been set for sentencing, but Powell faces a maximum of 58 years in prison whenever it happens. The officer is free on bail pending his sentencing, but has been ordered not to have any unsupervised contact with minors and not to use a computer. A police officer working in a Galloway, New Jersey high school has been charged with having sex with a student. According to WCAU, Officer Eric Allen was charged with sexual assault and official misconduct last week after he had sex with a student at the high school where he worked between February and March. The officer's victim was 17 years old at the time of the assaults. Allen has been suspended from the department and is facing 10 years in prison on each of his charges. Charges of sexual assault against 2 police officers in Millville, New Jersey, will be dropped in exchange for the officers' resignations. According to the press of Atlantic City, Officer Angel Rodriguez was arrested in December 2002 for having sex with teenage girls. He was charged with 2 counts of sexual assault, 2 counts of official misconduct, and 1 count of sexual contact with a minor. Officer Chris Frank was arrested in August 2003 for offenses against girls between the ages of 16 and 18 between September and November 2002. Frank was charged with aggravated sexual assault, sexual contact, and 2 counts of official misconduct. The local prosecutor plans to drop the charges in exchange for the officers' resignations, abandoning any claims against the city of Millville, and a promise not to seek employment with the city in the future. The prosecutor also agreed to have details of the charges sealed. A police officer who is the son of the chief of police in Hornell, New York, has been suspended for the second time. An article in the Hornell Evening Tribune says that Paul Crow Jr. was suspended beginning a week ago for unspecified incidents which occurred in March. Police say the matters are being investigated. Crow was suspended without pay for 2 weeks in April 2004 over incidents in a local tavern and over complaints of harassment made by a female resident of the town. Crow's current suspension is indefinite. A man is suing police in East Providence, Rhode Island, who he claims beat him severely during his arrest in February. A petition filed last week with the East Providence City Council says that the man suffered severe and permanent injury resulting from the beating. The man claims he was an innocent party in a bogus complaint. He claims that he sustained injuries to his nose, neck, and back before police arrested him for obstructing police, resisting arrest, and assaulting an officer. The East Providence Police Department is not commenting on the case. A police officer in Reading, Pennsylvania, has been fired for mistakenly killing a fellow officer last year. According to the Associated Press, Officer James Palange was fired last week for his negligence in the June 4th death after being suspended since early March. Palange is appealing his termination. A man was arrested by police in Baltimore, Maryland, after he tried to pay for a car stereo installation with $2 bills. According to the Baltimore Sun, the man spent 3 hours handcuffed to a pole and wearing leg irons in the county lockup while police consulted the Secret Service, who confirmed that the $2 bills were real currency. A sheriff's department captain in Loudoun County, Tennessee, is recovering after shooting himself in his office. WATE is reporting that Captain Tony Arden shot himself in the chest accidentally when he was cleaning a rifle. The weapon is a personal one which he planned to clean at work and then sell. The bullet lodged in Arden's chest will not be removed, but he is expected to return to work soon. The Tennessee Bureau of Investigation has ruled the shooting an accident. A police officer in Henderson, Tennessee, has been sentenced to 1 year in jail for his part in a 2002 burglary and beating. The Gallatin News Examiner reports that Officer Matthew Jason Carfee was convicted last year of criminal responsibility for aggravated robbery, criminal responsibility for aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, and official misconduct. Carfee was accused of driving a number of men to a location where they robbed another man and beat him with curtain rods before returning to Carfee's car and being driven away. Carfee resigned from the department shortly after his 2002 arrest. He will serve 1 year in jail and 6 years on probation. A police officer in Los Angeles has been sentenced to 90 days in jail for extorting money from a local business owner. KFMB reports that Officer Edwin Lee pleaded no contest to his charges and that he will also serve 3 years of probation and is being forced out of his job. Lee tried to extort $500 from a woman in exchange for filing a report about her claim of immigration fraud against a lawyer who had taken thousands of dollars from the woman but had done no work on her case. The officer did file the report but included details not provided by the woman, which he knew to be untrue. A police officer in Coolidge, Georgia, has been charged with extortion after he allegedly threatened to arrest a Latino man unless he was given $250. According to an Associated Press report, Officer Terrence Haywood tried to extort the money from the man whose sister filed a complaint when he informed her of what happened. Haywood faces 10 years in prison if he is convicted. A police officer in Pearson, Georgia, has been fired after being charged with theft. WALB reports that Officer Anthony Ray Chesser has been accused of stealing electronic equipment from a local business while he was on duty. Chesser has been charged with 2 counts of burglary and 2 counts of theft by taking. A police officer in Walkerton, Indiana, is back on duty after 2 women made complaints of sexual misconduct. The South Bend Tribune says that Officer Jim Christie has been cleared after an investigation by Indiana State Police and informed by a prosecutor that no charges will be filed. The officer has been on paid leave since October when he was accused by a Walkerton police dispatcher of sexual misconduct. A prosecutor would not offer details except to say that the accusation involved sexual battery. Shortly after the initial complaint, a second victim came forward with a similar accusation. Apparently, the officer will not be charged over either complaint. Although he is back on duty, he is working a different shift so that he will no longer have contact with the dispatcher who filed the initial complaint. A police officer in Adair County, Kentucky, has been arrested by state police who say that he provided drugs to prisoners on a work detail. According to WKYT, Constable Kenneth Downey has been charged with trafficking in a controlled substance, promoting contraband, and official misconduct. A sheriff's deputy in Volusia County, Florida, is being investigated after witnesses say he showed up drunk to an investigation. A WFTV report quotes witnesses to the incident who say that the deputy, Steve Helmer, was visibly drunk when he showed up at a homicide investigation 2 weeks ago. They also said he had to be placed into the car of another deputy and driven home. The sheriff's office released a statement that they were investigating Helmer for a number of possible charges, including use of alcohol while on duty and reporting for duty while intoxicated. Helmer, who has been with the sheriff's department for 17 years, has not been suspended. A police officer in Jackson, Mississippi, has been arrested on drug charges. WLBT reports that the home of Officer Lavartes Birch was searched when U.S. Marshals came to arrest his cousin on cocaine possession charges, and Birch was uncooperative. The search revealed drug paraphernalia, including scales and a small amount of marijuana. Birch was charged with possession of drug paraphernalia and released on a $1,000 bond after his Friday arrest. Birch has also been suspended from his job.
And he only got 5 years. There's no fair.
None of those people would have been in jail but for fake police reports, but for fake search warrants.
Actually, he was actually happy to receive 5 years. So he knew that he had made. It just sends a bad message.
If I were in their shoes, I'd be disappointed too. But I think in the grand scheme of things that justice was rendered today by this jury.
A police officer in Dallas, Texas, was sentenced to 5 years in prison last week for his part in a fake drug scandal, which saw innocent people jailed on drug charges, which proved to be false. According to the Dallas Morning News, Officer Mark De La Paz remains free on a $5,000 bond pending an appeal of his conviction. He was convicted of lying to a judge to obtain a search warrant the week before his sentencing. He was the first Dallas police officer to be convicted in a scandal that saw dozens of innocent people arrested and jailed on drug charges. In most of the cases, the drugs turned out to be fake and planted by informants that De La Paz had been ordered not to use by his superiors. The prosecutors in the case argued that the false imprisonments could not have occurred without the participation of both the crooked informants and officers like De La Paz, who filed false reports and other official documents. A State University of New Mexico police officer has resigned after state police say he pulled a gun on a motorist and pointed it at the man's head. According to an Associated Press account, Officer Javier Diaz resigned on March 15th because of an incident which occurred in December when Diaz called state police for help after he chased down a car with three occupants after he claimed gunshots came from it. State police say that there were no reports of any shots fired in the area, and no weapons were ever found in the car. They also report that Diaz held a gun to the head of the driver of the car and threatened him with it. Police in Glendale, Arizona, are being forced to scrap 158 domestic assault cases because of a single incompetent detective. An article in the Arizona Republic says that the cases will be dismissed because Detective Brad Moore failed to file the necessary paperwork and filed false reports. Police are struggling to deal with an additional 80 cases, which are also at risk over Moore's sloppy work. He has been fired by the Glendale Police Department but remains on paid leave pending his appeal of the termination. In January, the detective was suspended without pay for 40 days by Chief Andrew Kirkland. The chief announced his decision to fire Moore in February. Last month, Chief Kirkland was himself placed on paid leave, while an investigation into sexual harassment and other charges against him are conducted.
If convicted on all counts, the maximum penalty faced by Officer Saunders is 30 years imprisonment and a fine of $750,000. Officer Fitzgerald is facing 35 years imprisonment and a fine of $1 million. The grand jury has alleged that Officer Saunders and Officer Fitzgerald overlooked illegal activities at Max's nightclub, fixed minor traffic offenses and drunk driving charges for Charles Phillips, and passed on sensitive information to Charles Phillips concerning law enforcement operations. When Officer Saunders and Officer Fitzgerald became aware of the federal investigation, they attempted to persuade Charles Phillips and Jason Madison to commit perjury before the federal grand jury and to withhold information from federal agents.
I think that efforts were undertaken to bring this to a conclusion as swiftly as was practical under the circumstances. Today, each of us who are privileged to wear a badge feel a sense of loss and disappointment, for which there will be no easy recovery.
Two police officers in Charlottesville, Virginia, have been indicted on federal corruption charges this week. According to the Richmond Times-Dispatch, officers Charles Saunders and Roy Fitzgerald are accused of taking bribes from a strip club manager who provided the officers with money and women to have sex with in exchange for ignoring illegal activities at the club. The two officers were arrested on March 29th and placed on administrative leave. Both are free on a $25,000 bond after pleading not guilty to the charges. The two officers alerted the club manager to drug and prostitution investigations and even identified an undercover officer who was working at the club. The two are facing charges of bribery, conspiring to influence witness testimony, and giving false statements to investigators and to the grand jury. They're each facing 30 to 35 years in jail and up to $1 million in fines if they are convicted on all of the charges. A Chesapeake, Virginia police officer who pleaded guilty to drunk driving charges earlier this year still has his job as a police officer. The Virginian Pilot says that Officer Thomas Downing received a suspended 30-day sentence, restrictions on his driver's license, 1 year of probation, was fined $500, and was ordered into an alcohol treatment program over a drunk driving incident which occurred last October. Downing's brother, who heads the Criminal Investigations Division at the Chesapeake Police Department, said that his job status was a personnel matter and declined to comment further. It is not known if Downing was ever suspended from his job over his drunk driving conviction. Virginia State Police are investigating an allegation of improper conduct made by a woman against a sheriff's deputy in Buckingham County. According to an article in the Daily Progress, the deputy has not been identified and details of the woman's allegations have not been made public. There's also no word on whether or not the deputy in question has been suspended. The woman filed the complaint 2 weeks ago and the sheriff asked the state police to investigate. Two teenagers who were in a car being chased by Toronto police when it crashed are both dead. According to the Toronto Star, police began the pursuit after the car failed to pull over after a traffic infraction. Police chased the car until it crashed into a tree in front of a home in North York. The 15-year-old driver was pronounced dead at the scene of the accident, and the 16-year-old passenger died later in hospital.
I got beat up. You know, I shouldn't be treated like that. That's impossible to happen. You know, I wasn't expecting that I would get beat up, basically, but especially by officers.
The trial of a Toronto police officer charged with assault for allegedly beating a man began this week. According to the CBC, Constable Roy Preston was charged last June for an August 2003 beating of a man who police found in a parking lot when they arrived to break up a fight. The Somali victim of the beating was arrested and charged with assaulting police and causing a disturbance. A videotape of the incident released to the media, which showed the victim of the beating being punched, but not resisting officers, forced the police chief to order an internal investigation in December 2003. The victim testified this week that he ran away from the police after they punched him. He said several officers then chased him across four lanes of traffic and continued to beat him. A Toronto police officer who killed an elderly pedestrian when he made an illegal turn in his police cruiser was sentenced this week to give up 40 hours of pay as punishment. According to the Toronto Sun, Officer Juan Mancia made a right-hand turn from a left-hand turn lane on December 8, 2003, when he struck the woman, killing her. This 40-hour pay sentence was the result of a guilty plea to internal police charges of discreditable conduct. The officer was also fined $500 after he pleaded guilty to a charge of making an improper right turn in a provincial court. In addition to the killings already reported in this program, police also killed people this week in Phoenix, Arizona, Wichita, Kansas, Miami, Florida, and Anaheim, California. Next up, a review of this week's Taser News.
We do feel that Taser use is the most effective and efficient use of a less than lethal option available to law enforcement.
I prefer using that Taser to drawing out my nightstick.
The use of force virtually doubled over the three-year average in 2004.
We need to get much more information about the relationship of this kind of instrument with sudden death.
A lawsuit filed by the family of a Haywood, Florida man who was killed after police shocked him with a stun gun has been settled for $6,000. The size of the settlement was less than the cost to defend a potential civil rights lawsuit, and therefore is seen as a victory by law enforcement in Hollywood who continue to stand behind the use of stun guns. The death of a man after being shocked with a taser by police in Toledo, Ohio, has been ruled a homicide by the local coroner. The coroner was careful to add that his ruling did not imply that a criminal act took place. The man was shocked 9 times over several hours before he died. The family of a man who was killed after police shocked him with a taser in Pacifica, California in January have filed a lawsuit this week seeking $30 million in damages. The suit accuses police of excessive use of force, unjustified use of tasers, and failure to permit prompt medical treatment. This week, Taser International, the leading North American manufacturer of stun guns, admitted that their products can be deadly. The company has had 18 lawsuits filed against it in the past year. Most of the lawsuits allege wrongful death or personal injury. One such suit was filed by a Las Vegas police officer who claims he was injured when he volunteered to be shocked by a stun gun at a demonstration of the weapon. The Las Vegas Police Department are themselves being sued by 2 families of people who died after being shocked with tasers by police in Las Vegas. A new report on the death of a man who died after being shocked with a taser by police in Heber, Utah in December says that the stun gun might be a factor in the man's death. A new autopsy ordered by investigators looking into the November death of a man in Hartford, Michigan, has concluded that a stun gun was a contributing factor in the death. The man was shocked several times in a swampy area, despite the manufacturer's warning that stun guns should not be used when water is present because drowning may result. An initial autopsy found the man's drowning death to be an accident. This week, a high school student in Orange County, Florida, became the 18th student to be shocked with a stun gun in the county in the past 2 years. The student said he was handcuffed when the taser was used by the sheriff's deputy. The deputy accused in the incident, Mark Lubscher, had previously used a taser on an emotionally challenged 12-year-old student who was handcuffed and on a 17-year-old student who was in the back seat of a squad car. Police in St. Johnsbury, Vermont, used a taser on a 16-year-old this week after the boy refused an officer's command to stop. Last week, Orange County, Florida Sheriff Kevin Beery used driver's license records to track down a woman who had written a letter published in a local newspaper which called him fat and questioned the use of tasers by police. According to an Associated Press story, the woman said in her letter that she became concerned about taser use by police after she saw Beery in what she called obvious distress during a taser demonstration. She also wrote that the sheriff seemed to be overweight and that maybe if officers were healthier, they would not have the need to shock people with tasers. In the United States, it is illegal for the driver's license database to be used for non-law enforcement purposes. Beery used the database to get the woman's address so he could send her a letter accusing her of slander. The woman feels the letter from the sheriff was intended to intimidate her out of her right to freely express herself. The sheriff has subsequently apologized for his actions. The sheriff's deputy in Florida we told you about last week, who shocked a man with a taser wrongfully when he showed up at the wrong address, has resigned. According to his superiors, Deputy John Daly would have been fired had he not resigned. The police department in Racine, Wisconsin, is going ahead with a pilot project to purchase 35 tasers and train all of their officers in their use starting this week. All 35 of the weapons are expected to be deployed by this summer. This week, the city council in Jessup, Iowa, approved the purchase of tasers for its police officers. They plan to purchase the weapons this summer, and several officers have already completed training for the use of tasers. The police department in Alexandria, Virginia, plans to have tasers in use by the end of this month. The police department in Austin, Texas, has changed their taser use policy so that in the future, officers will not be permitted to use tasers on people in handcuffs, people who display passive resistance, or on people who are fleeing nonviolent offenses. A new company in North Carolina called Stinger Systems is hoping to break Taser International's virtual monopoly on stun gun sales to police departments. This week, the company sent 1,000 demonstration units to police departments across North America who expressed an interest in the devices. So far, the company hasn't enjoyed a single sale of their product, which began production less than a month ago. Stinger claims their stun guns are less expensive, more accurate, and offer better safety features. Stinger's devices use an 8,000-volt jolt to subdue victims, compared with Taser's 50,000-volt shock. Next, we'll listen to an editorial from Matthew Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive magazine, about police officers who lie in the line of duty, in particular at the recent Republican National Convention in New York City.
I play poker with a couple people from the public defender's office, and they've told me repeatedly that cops lie in their police reports and on the stand. I thought of their comments when I read the front page story in the New York Times on how New York City police officers just made stuff up about the protesters at last year's Republican convention. Police arrested more than 1,800 protesters there, and Dennis Kine was the first one. They said he was resisting arrest, kicking and screaming all the way, but an amateur video recording of Kine showed that he was doing no such thing, so the prosecutors had to drop the charges. Alexander Dunlop was also arrested, accused of pushing his bicycle into a line of police officers and resisting arrest. The police had a video of their own that prosecutors were using as evidence, but they doctored the video, leaving out scenes showing him behaving peacefully. Again, another amateur video recording had the full sequence, which showed Dunlop calmly approaching the police line and later submitting to arrest without apparent incident. Thank God for the amateur videographers. At the next protest, we should all bring them along. But when the cameras aren't running, imagine the power of the cops and the prosecutors to distort the evidence and to get away with it. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
That's all for this week. Tune into this station next week for more. Email your comments and story ideas to ron@ckln.fm. Thanks to everyone who sent in stories for this week's show. From CKLN 88.1 FM in Toronto, I'm Ron Anisich. Each week, we end Bad Cop No Donut with a song. This week, it's Police Car by the Cockney Rejects.